they can see some of you guys sitting on the front row. And it gets awful scary looking around the room with a lot of people. So I'm just going to talk to the people on the front row, and everyone else can listen in if they want. So if there's any children, anyone else who wants to sit on the front row, and I'll be able to talk to you too. So it'd make my job a lot easier if you all come up on the front row so I can talk to you and you can hear me. So who has the very first song for Sunday school this week? Anyone want to give one out on the hymn sheet here? If you're sitting on the front row, you get first right of refusal. So does anyone have a song they'd like to sing here this morning? You got one?
48,
945. Number 45? Great. Thank you so much. And I can ordinarily start tunes, but there's a lot of people looking at me here and I feel a little nervous, so if someone else can pass it on.
To little ones, to love, to God.
What number did you want to sing? Number three. Is that A Little Ship Was on the Sea? Okay, well, let's sing that.
A little ship was on the sea. It was a pretty sight. It sailed along so pleasantly, and all was calm. Sacred.
interesting, where I work, I get to go on the water a lot. I get to go to work in a boat quite a bit. And so there's sometimes I look out from the dock and I look down the lake and there's some big waves. Sometimes we'll be up to maybe 2.5-3 feet high. And I think maybe I'll drive by truck to work today. I don't think I'll take a boat. But here these disciples, they were out in a storm. They had no choice. The Lord had told them to be there. But the Lord knew what they were going through, and the Lord helped them. So that's nice. So I think of this song, and I think of those storms quite often because I work in weather like that. Was it you? You had one you wanted to give out, or who's? Oh, it was. What number did you want to give out?
Number 5.
Okay, thank you. And that's a good song, and a good song to think about. Those of us who are Christians, we can sing it. And it's talking about a happy day, so we should be happy as we're considering it. So number 5.
Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its treasures all abroad. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus was sing that song. A little child of seven, or even three or four, may enter.
time for maybe one or two more. I saw a girl with her hand up. What number did you want to sing?
Number four.
Number four on the hymn sheet here? You should. Number four. Now this is a little bit of a longer song. Do you mind if we sing the first verse and the last verse? Is that all right? Okay, good. If it wasn't all right, we could sing the whole song, but then we wouldn't have as much time for some other things. So let's sing the first and the last verse with the chorus.
Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by His grace I am free.
I saw Sam's hand up last time, and I skipped over him. So maybe if we have time at the end, you can try and remember your number, and we'll sing yours. But what number did you want to sing there, Sam?
I wanted to sing number six.
Number six. Okay, and we'll do the same thing we did last time with the first and the last verse. Number six.
God in mercy sent His Son to a world like sin undone.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, I think some of you children worked very hard this past week memorizing a verse. And if any of you children would really like to say that verse, that's fine. I'd like to hear you say that verse if you'd like to recite it. I remember being at conferences. It's hard to imagine, but I was the size of each one of you boys and girls at one point in my life, and I would sit on the front row, and I would really hope that I didn't get asked to say the verse, because I'd be nervous, and I wouldn't look at the speaker, if he'd look my way, I'd turn around. So I'm not going to make you say your verse, even if you did memorize it, but if any of you children want to say your verse, if you worked hard on it, and you'd like to say it, that'd be fine. So, do I have anyone who'd like to say their verse? You'd like to say your verse. Great.
Okay.
Go for it. Okay, well, it's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And I don't remember either. I fell out of my head. Be ye kind, one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And that's Ephesians 4:32. Can you say the reference? Ephesians 4:32. Great. Thank you. Does anyone else want to say the verse? You'd like to say it. Okay. You don't know it either? Okay. Well, be ye kind. I hope this is the right verse. Is this the right verse? I think it is. That's the verse that I heard last week, unless Tamer Bay marches to a different drum than everyone else. Did you learn a different verse? Okay, well let's you can be kind, therefore. Whoops, sorry. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God.
Even that God.
For Christ's sake.
For Christ's sake.
Hath forgiven you.
Hath forgiven you.
Okay, Ephesians 4.
Ephesians 4:32.
Great. Thank you both for saying the verse. And usually I know that verse, but it's an interesting thing. When you stand up in front of a bunch of people, your brain doesn't work very well. So I think you children, when you stand up and you try and say your verse in front of people, you have a similar experience sometimes. But that's all right, because if we work hard and we memorize it, it goes into our head, and it goes into our heart as well. And so a long time later, it'll still be there in our heart, which is good. So I'd like to tell a couple of stories from the Bible to you children here this morning. And they're stories that I've enjoyed, I really appreciate it, and I hope you will as well. And to illustrate that story, I've got an object lesson on the table. So can any of you children tell what's on the table there? What's on the table?
Water.
Water. Is there a little bit of water, a lot of water?
One. A lot and some ice.
And some ice, ooh.
And
there's cups. That's something that's necessary if you're going to drink water as well. So sometimes people get thirsty and they need water. And so there's two pitchers of water up there. And maybe towards the end of Sunday school here, I'll give some of you children a drink of water if you're thirsty, and it'll serve as an object lesson. I hope you won't forget it. But we'll get to that in a little bit. But you can work up a big thirst here while we're talking. And while you're listening, and maybe you'll be ready to drink some water. So the story that I'd like to turn to is found in the Bible, and it's found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And it's right after the story that we were singing about where there was a storm. So in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, the Lord Jesus and his disciples, they went through a big storm, and they ended up on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, I believe it was. In Mark chapter 5. So those of us with Bibles, we can turn to Mark chapter 5, and we'll read that story. And what I'd like to do this morning is tell you about two choices, two options. There's a verse in Joshua that says, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve." And each one of us, we have a choice this morning. Who are we going to serve? There's two options. There's the Lord Jesus, and there's Satan. So there's two different ones that we can serve. And I'd like to talk about both of these this morning and look at their character. That's what they're like. I'd like to look at that this morning. And so each one of you children can look at these two, and we'll see that the Lord Jesus is much, much better to serve. And I hope each one of you children will decide that you'd like to serve the Lord Jesus, that you'd like to follow him and have him wash your sins away. So we'll read a few verses in Mark chapter 5 here. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he," that's the Lord Jesus, "when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountain and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much, that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." Stop there. When I was sitting on that front row at conferences when I was your size, I heard this story told, and there were some things that really, really confused me about that story. And it was only a couple of years ago that I came to realize what some of those answers were. I think it was about a year and a half ago that I really enjoyed one of the answers, and so I'll give you some of these things that I had questions about, sitting on the front row, and maybe you have the same question too. So we'll touch on some of those as we go through this chapter. But the first question I have, and if any of you children think you know the answer, you can raise your hand and tell me, do you think this man with this legion of devils, before the Lord Jesus came to him, do you think he was happy? What do you think? Can I have someone raise? What do you think? Yeah. Do you cry when you're happy? No, nor do I, not usually.
Well, if you're really happy.
If you're really happy, but this man wasn't really happy. He was living in the tombs. Do you know what it means to live in the tombs? What's it mean?
If you're living in like a big cave with like nothing.
Yeah, you're living in a graveyard. Is that a nice place to live? No. In those lands, probably wouldn't smell very good. And you don't have anyone to keep you company. You're in a graveyard, and here you read of him, he was bound with chains at different points in his life. Have you ever, any of you children, it's a fun game to play sometimes, but have any of you children been tied up with rope and then you try and get out of it? Have any of you children gotten to do that? No? Oh, well, fun activity that you get to try someday. It's more fun than it sounds, but it wouldn't be fun if you got tied up and you couldn't get out, and everyone just leaves and goes and has lunch or supper or something like that, and you're left tied up in knots. But here, this poor man, he had been tied up in chains. He was living in the tombs. He was crying day and night. He was cutting himself. I cut myself, but I do it rather often. I probably have about half a dozen cuts and dings on my hands right now, but it's never intentional. But this man, he would cut himself, and he was sad, and he was miserable. You know what? That's what Satan does to the people who follow him, who do what he wants them to do. He does his very best to make them just like this man that we're reading about. And this man was miserable. You know what? Satan will come to you and he'll say, oh, don't listen to the Lord Jesus. Don't come to the Lord Jesus. You'll be miserable if you come to the Lord Jesus. But you know what? That's a lie. Satan can't tell the truth. He lies. He's a liar and the father of it. And that's an absolute lie. If you come to the Lord Jesus, and we'll read a little bit later in this chapter what the Lord Jesus did to this man. We read it. We'll comment on it. But he came to set this man free and to make him happy and to make his life useful. And so Satan, he's maybe whispering in your ear, you know, don't come to the Lord Jesus just quite yet. Just wait a little bit longer. After the conference, you can ask the Lord Jesus to wash your sins away. But don't do it now. You won't have as much fun at this conference. Or just, well, don't worry about these things. Don't worry about them until you're older. But you know what? If you listen to Satan when he says that to you, if you listen to that advice, if you wait, you'll end up just like this man in this chapter. It may not be, you may not physically be tied up. You may not physically be cutting yourself. But you'll be miserable. The most miserable people you can meet are those who are serving Satan. And he's a very, very bad master. You don't want to be serving him. Jesus, he wants to set you free. And that's what we read about this in this chapter. He came to deliver this man from his bondage. And so here this poor man, he was miserable. And something else that really, really bothered me about this chapter, the pigs. Are pigs nice animals? Well, they're not too bad. They're actually smarter than dogs. You can train pigs to do all sorts of things. You can train them to go through a maze, and you can train them to point out different objects. Pigs are pretty smart. Why did all those pigs go running down that hill and drown? Why did they do that? Why did they do that?
They
even
stay within
them. Yeah. A pig normally wouldn't do that, would it? Pigs are, I mean, they like to play in mud. They like to eat food. And they're happy as a pig in mud to do that. But they ran down, and they all died. And they did it. You were right in your answer, because they had those evil spirits that were pushing them to do that. That's what Satan wants to do to each one of us. He wants to ruin us. But why? Why did those evil spirits make those pigs go down that hill? Do you know? And this was what really bothered me. Do you have an idea?
Maybe because they wanted to get away from God.
Well, that's a good guess, but I don't think that's the answer. They could have went anywhere, I take it, and we see that in other places in Scripture, but they could have went somewhere else and done something else, so that wasn't why they killed all those pigs. Anyone else have a guess? Do you have an idea? Why?
They might have gone to help the man get out.
Well, that's a good guess. But those evil spirits, they're mean. They don't want to help anyone. But that was a good guess. Thank you. Do you have an idea? That's the answer. That's good. And I was a lot older than you are before I figured that out. Satan is a destroyer. We read of that. One of his names is Apollyon, and that means destroyer. And Satan wants to destroy everything he can. He ruins everything he can. And so he got in, Satan and his servants were in this man, in this man called Legion, and they were trying to ruin Legion. They got into the pigs, and Satan did what the only thing Satan can do. He tried to ruin the pigs. And so all these pigs, 2,000 pigs, that's a lot of pigs. But they didn't just kind of wade down to the water and go into the water and drown. It says they ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were choked. And so Satan was pushing these pigs, and they got to the point, even if one of the pig in the middle had said, oh, wait, this isn't a good idea. They were surrounded by a bunch of other pigs and going down a steep place. There comes a point when you're running down a hill, you can't stop. You end up at the bottom one way or the other. And these pigs, they were driven down this steep hill into the sea, and they were drowned. And that's what Satan does. He's a destroyer. He hates God, and he hates you. And if you listen to him, and you try to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, he's going to do the exact same thing to your life. And so he's a terrible, terrible master to serve. And so it's good to realize this, because sometimes Satan comes to us as an angel of light, and he'll say, oh, here's something wonderful. God isn't giving this to you. This is you need this to be happy. But it never works out that way. He's a destroyer. So that's one person, that's one being that we can discuss. And so I mentioned that verse at the beginning. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. So that's one option. Let's look at the Lord Jesus just for a few minutes. And it's a far more pleasant and enjoyable object to look at. So we saw, remember the storm that we mentioned? And how we sang about the little ship was on the sea, and they woke the Lord Jesus up. Do you know the Lord Jesus, he wanted to talk to that man Legion. He wanted to meet him. You know what? He went in a boat. He went through a big storm, big waves, went all the way across that lake. He talked to that man, and he turned around, and he got in a boat, and went all the way back. He just wanted to talk to that one man, and he did. Isn't that nice? You know, sometimes, you know, you little children here, you'll maybe be running around, and maybe you're in the food line, and you'd like maybe an adult to help you reach into that food tray and help you grab one of their sausages, those meatballs, because they're really good. Can you help me? Maybe people don't even notice you're there because you're small. But the Lord Jesus, he knows about you. He cares about you. We read one story where the Lord Jesus, there was 99 sheep, and one got lost. And it's a picture of the Lord Jesus, how even if there's only one person, even if that one person is you, he'll go out looking, and he wants to save you. He cares about you. And so here, one man, and the Lord Jesus, he went all the way across that sea, and he set that man free from the bondage that he was in. And so even if you're little, maybe you haven't done too many things that are bad and wrong, but you're a sinner if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And those sins, they have to be paid for. It says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so if you're a sinner, you have a problem. And the Lord Jesus has come to wash your sins away, to set you free from those sins. And so he wants you to come to him and to have those sins washed away, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved. So here we see that he came all that way and set this man free. He delivered him from those demons, and we see at the end of this portion that this man was sitting clothed. How does that go? Sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And so this man was far, far better off once he had met the Lord Jesus and wanted to be with the Lord Jesus. He was far better off. He was far happier than when he had been cutting himself, when he had been crying, when he had been in the tombs, when he had been bound with chains. The Lord Jesus came. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Satan doesn't love you. Satan wants to ruin you, just like those pigs. Just ruin all of humanity. But the Lord Jesus, he wants to see you happy. and to see you able to be with him in heaven, to have your sins washed away. And so he wants you to come to him this morning. And each one of us who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we want you to as well. And it's a happy thing. We were singing about happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Let's turn a little bit further in Mark's Gospel and we'll see another thing about the Lord Jesus. And that's in Mark chapter 10. There's three verses that we'll read here. And I really, really like these verses, and I hope you children appreciate them as well. So Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer, or let the little children come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. In verse 16, he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Isn't that nice? You know, you children, you might not understand too much now, but old people, grown-ups, we're always running around, we have stuff to do, and you want to, well, can we play with that? Sorry, I gotta run and do this. I gotta fix the car, or I gotta go to work, or I gotta do this, or I gotta do the other. But the Lord Jesus, he has time even for little children. And he has time for you this morning. He wants to spend time with you. You can't be too little, or too small, or too shy. It doesn't matter. He wants you to come to him. And he wants to spend time with you. Isn't that nice? There's lots of people in this world that they're so busy they don't have time for children. And each one of us who are older here, we were children once, so we know a little bit what it's like to be a child. And you walk up to someone and they just ignore you, or you're asking them something and they just ignore you, or they don't want to spend any time with you. It's not very nice. But the Lord Jesus cares about you. And he wants you to come to him. And he's waiting. He's ready. And it says, he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And that's what the Lord Jesus wants to do to each one of you, boys and girls, this morning. To bless you and to wash your sins away if you come to him and ask to have your sins washed away and be forgiven. So I've got those pitchers of water up top, and it's a little bit of an illustration. We have what Satan has to offer in one pitcher, and we have what the Lord Jesus has to offer in one pitcher. And I'd like a volunteer to help me here. Is there? You'd like to help me? Okay, you want to come up? I'll see if my hands don't shake hard enough that I can pour you a cup of water here. I'll give you a cup. Would anyone else like a cup of water? Are you thirsty? There you go. Take a swig of that. You'd like one? Oh dear. Oh, sorry about that. Good cup of ice water here. Would you like some, Sam? Here you go. Have a little bit of ice water there. Oh, you gotta at least try it. It's good. Good water. You'd like some? Okay. Great. You can have some ice water too. Good ice water. That's too good. There you go. You can sit down if you'd like. You've had enough ice water. Okay. Well, maybe we'll give you a cup of the other stuff. Can anyone want to take a guess about this? Is there something wrong with this ice water? Exactly. It's salt water. Now, do you know what happens when you drink salt water?
Yes, it tastes terrible.
Actually, I like the taste of salt. Salt, told in Scripture, salt is good. And if you don't have salt, you die. So you need some salt. But what happens if you're out in the middle of the ocean, you need water, and you just take a drink of salt water? What happens?
It tastes all bitter.
Yeah, well, that's the initial. But did you know there's been a lot of people who have died when they're out on the ocean? They run out of good, fresh water, and oh, they're so thirsty, they have some salt water. And you drink the salt water, and this is maybe a little bit more salty than the ocean. I wanted to make sure you knew there was salt in it. But you have a little bit, and you feel good for a little while, but you know what? Before too long, you're thirsty again, and you're more thirsty than you were the first time. And so you have more, and more, and more, and more, and it makes you thirstier and thirstier and thirstier. And you know what? That's what Satan does. He says, oh, you're thirsty? Let me give you this. Oh, it'll be wonderful. And you know what? It isn't. You have a little bit, and oh boy, this is water, this is good. But it makes you even thirstier the next time. And he'll keep giving you salt water and giving, and you go chasing after different things, and they do not satisfy. Salt water does not satisfy. Maybe if there was a little less salt, it wouldn't taste as bad, and this isn't too bad, but it'll make you thirstier than when you started. And that's what Satan does. He's a deceiver, he's a liar, he hates, he destroys, and everything that he gives just makes you, it looks like you're in need of some decent, I'll give you some, this is some good water, help alleviate your thirst there. So thank you for helping out. You're serving as a good illustration. And so, would you like some water? Okay, you children, maybe I'll give you because you asked for. Well, you probably need some too. After some salt water. Make sure I pour from the right container. But Satan, what he has to offer, doesn't satisfy. What the Lord Jesus gives. Does. And so when he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, and it speaks about in his presence there's fullness of joy, there really is. And he satisfies. And he gives us. He gives us without asking. Without asking in return. He gives and he gives and he gives. And this is an important lesson for each one of us, even those of us who aren't children, to realize God is a giving God, and he wants the very best for us. You'd like a little bit of water, too? Okay, well, maybe I'll just speak for another minute here, and we'll pray, and then you can come up and you can grab either salt or ice water, whichever you'd like. But salt or fresh water. But only the Lord Jesus can satisfy. And so Satan, he'll say, oh, you need to follow me. I'll make you happy. It'll be wonderful. But it's just like taking this big jug of salt water and just chugging it down, and it makes you more miserable than when you started. And that happens every time he listened to Satan or he tried to serve Satan. And so that poor man, that poor demoniac, that man with the legion of devils, he was miserable. He was absolutely miserable. And if you come to know the Lord Jesus, he'll set you free from that, and he'll make you happy, and he'll make your life worth living. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So let's just close in prayer. Our loving God and our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that we serve a God of love. We think of each of these children and would ask for help that they would come to the Lord Jesus and that they would ask him to wash their sins away. That come to that Savior, that dear loving Savior, receive him this moment and peace will be theirs. We would desire this, Lord Jesus. We would plead with thee for this. We would ask for help for each one of us who are saved, that we would remember that this world does not satisfy, that Satan is a destroyer, and that it's only in thee, Lord Jesus, that we can find rest and peace and satisfaction. So we'd ask thee for thy help in this. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, if any of you children would like a little bit of salt water just to try it, if you missed the chance and you want to try some, that's fine. Or if you'd like the fresh water, that's fine as well. Would you like some of this?